Go to the next slide. Right here we have Cookie Monster. Me going to look away from Cookie. Because he is tempted, isn't he? He's always tempted for those cookies. And he's turning away so that temptation will not get the best of him. Now go to the next slide. There we go. Next slide. And today's message is temptation. And no one is exempt from temptation. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Nobody is exempt. Not anyone. Thank you, Lord. There we go. Thank you, Lord. If you have your scriptures with you today, I hope you do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew 4, it's also in Luke 4, we see that Yeshua also was tempted. You know, Yeshua was tempted in every way, just like we are tempted. But the scriptures say that he was without sin. Matthew 4, starting at verse 1, says the following. Then Yeshua was led by the Ruach into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are Ben Elohim, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But he replied, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city, into Jerusalem, and he placed him at the highest point of the temple. If you are Ben Elohim, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you. Upon their hands they shall lift you up so that you may not strike your foot against a stone. And Yeshua said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put Adonai your God to the test. Again, the devil takes him to the very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, all these things that you see, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Yeshua said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to take care of him. Obviously, you can see what I've been sharing on today, temptation. And we see here that Yeshua also went through temptation. Let me share a little story. This was from the Denver Post. Anybody been to Denver before? Okay, a few of you. It says this. Like many sheep ranchers in the West, Lexi Fowler has tried about everything she knows to stop those crafty coyotes from killing her sheep. She's tried everything. She's used odor sprays, electric fences, and even scare coyotes. She has slept with her lambs during the summer. She has placed battery-operated radios near them. She has corralled them at night, herded them by day. But the southern Montana rancher has lost scores of lambs. In fact, 50, yes, last year alone. Then she discovered the llama. The llama. Everybody knows what a llama is? The llama, the aggressive, funny-looking, afraid-of-nothing llama. And llamas don't appear to be afraid of anything, she said. When they see something, they put their head up and they walk straight toward it. That is aggressive behavior as far as a coyote is concerned. and they won't have anything to do with that llama. But coyotes are opportunists, and llamas take that opportunity away from them. These llamas illustrate what James spoke of in chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The moment that we sense Satan's attack through temptation is a moment that we need to face it, and we need to deal with it for what it is. It has been rightly stated, that when you flee temptation, be sure that you don't leave a forwarding address. All right? So when you flee temptation, don't leave a forwarding address. You know, there's a common misconception concerning temptation. Many people believe that it is a sin to be tempted. They do. But you know, it's not a sin to be tempted. The sin comes when you give in to that temptation. All right? When you give in to it. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us. James said in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Has anybody here ever been tempted? Yeah? You too? Really? I thought it was just me who was tempted. But you all get tempted too? Now, do you ever give in to that temptation? Unfortunately, yes. We give in to that temptation. Probably a lot more than we want to. We give in to that. But you know, some people are so burdened and they are so discouraged when they face great temptation. They feel so much guilt over the temptation that sometimes they don't even put up a fight against it. But we have to fight that good fight of faith, don't we? Each and every one of us faces temptation every single day of our life. And no one in this room is exempt from temptation, because we're all going to face it. And I tell you what, a lot of the times we're going to blow it. A lot of times we're going to face that temptation and we're going to jump right in to that temptation rather than resisting it. Because that's our human nature, and we are people who are weak. But thanks be to God for Yeshua the Messiah, who gives us strength when we're weak. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's proof that it's not a sin to be tempted. And we just read that in Matthew 4 about Yeshua. Yeshua was tempted in every way like we, but the scriptures say that he was without sin. He didn't sin, but he was tempted, and he faced it. So it's not a sin to be tempted. Don't think that when you're tempted, it's because you're a sinner. Satan desires to tempt you in every way possible because he wants you to fall. He wants you destroyed. We read here that even our Messiah, Yeshua, was tempted. The writer of the book of Hebrews stated in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, concerning Yeshua, for we do not have a Kohen Gadol. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who was tempted in every way, in all the same ways that we were tempted, yet he was without sin. And this shows us that there is hope for us when we face temptation. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to mankind. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But with the temptation, he's also going to provide a way of escape so that you'll be able to endure it. Now, many of us face all these different kinds of temptations. Men face different temptations than women. Men see things differently and women see differently. We all face temptations. But isn't it encouraging that there is a way of escape from temptation? And when you face temptation, you need to deal with it immediately. Don't let it just fester. If you're tempted, deal with it immediately. Rebuke it. Tell Satan to be gone, to get out of your life. Don't let that temptation just stay there until you finally give into it. Benjamin Franklin, everybody knows who Benjamin Franklin was. He said, "It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follow it." And that's true. Once you give into it, it is so difficult and so hard because you want to then keep satisfying that temptation over and over. And let me tell you, the world that we live in today, there are so many temptations. It's just crazy. It's crazy. You know, the way, you know, women dress nowadays even. You see, women wearing sheer clothes, see-through clothes all the time, that brings temptation for men. Pornography all over the place that brings temptation to men. All the ads on TV, oh my gosh, I tell you, ads on TV are now R-rated. R-rated. Women coming out in underwear. Men coming out just wearing briefs. You know, so many things, there's so much temptation that's out there. Temptation for alcohol and temptation for everything you can imagine. Every TV show dealing with affairs. Men and women having affairs. And it's terrible. But don't allow that temptation to linger in your life. Because when you do, your chances of fleeing from that temptation decreases greatly. You have to realize that sin is more powerful than you are. It will destroy you if it has an opportunity. Yeshua told his Talmudim, his disciples, in Matthew 26, verse 41, "Keep watching and praying so that you will not enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I know that in my own life. Boy, within me, my spirit wants to keep away from that temptation. But this flesh, when we see things and hear things and all the things around us, the flesh is weak in every area. Chocolate cake, ice cream, you name it. Temptation all around us. Oh. Boston cream pie, I tell you. Temptation all around us. Let's look at the life of our Messiah Yeshua and the event where Satan tempted him. This is number one. You are going to face temptation. We see that in verses 1 through 8 in Matthew 4. Temptation is a fact. It's real, it's constant, and it's powerful. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 2, we see, "Then Yeshua was led by the Ruach into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." We see here that Yeshua fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And because of this fast, he was physically hungry. And when you're hungry, it's easy to be tempted, isn't it? And consider the preceding events that were in chapter 3, in verses 16 through 17 in chapter 3, just before this temptation. It says, "After being immersed," or after being baptized, "Yeshua rose out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, descending like a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" So Yeshua went from this awesome scene, this awesome experience of being immersed with the Spirit of God right into the wilderness. Right into it. Satan knew what he was doing. And he's a great schemer and he had a plan. And he's still that way today. He is a schemer. He has a plan. And he doesn't want you to be useful or fruitful for the kingdom of God. And he'll go to great lengths to trap you and to entice you and to lead you into sin. You know, the enemy is going to attack you after you have a spiritual high. Yeshua just had this spiritual high. He was just immersed. The Spirit of God came upon him. Someone once said these words, "Just after I was saved, I remember my mama telling me that Satan would now be after me." You see, before you are saved, there is no reason for the enemy to waste his time and his resources on you. Really. Because you're not a threat to him. You're not a threat to his plan if you're not saved. But as soon as you're saved, he's going to hit you with everything that he has. And he will. Maybe you've rededicated your life to the Lord and you desire to be fruitful in your service to God. Maybe you've been fasting and praying and you're growing closer to Yeshua. Believe me, he's going to attack you. Be on your lookout because an attack is imminent. It's coming. The point is not for you to avoid going through spiritual highs, and don't be afraid of progress in the Lord, but be ready to go into battle and be prepared. Not only is the enemy going to attack you after a spiritual high, we find out that the enemy will attack you during physical lows as well. Remember, Yeshua was physically hungry here from fasting for 40 days. I know if I fast for one day, I'm starving to death. Imagine fasting for 40 days. So he was on a physical low. The body is weak at this point. The devil will come to you when you're feeling poorly physically, when you're sick, when you just, maybe you're depressed, you just don't feel well. Something's not right. The devil's going to come after you when you are physically down. Remember when Elijah was so discouraged that he asked God to just kill him and get over with? Have you ever done that? I have done that so many times. But it's reality. Lord, I just can't stand it anymore. Just kill me already. Get it over with. I'm tired of this all. No one else has ever done that? Yeah? Well, that's good that some of you acknowledge it. And some of you who don't acknowledge it is because you're probably fibbing here. All right? But it's a fact. At this point in Elijah's life, he just had run a marathon in order to flee from Jezebel. You know, the strategy of the enemy. John, the emissary of the disciple of Yeshua, gives us a brief description of three tactics that the enemy will use. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And he says, "For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh, number two, and the lust of the eyes, and number three, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The devil's strategy hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden. He used the same three things against Eve that he used against Yeshua. And he will use these same three tactics against us as well. So consider the temptation in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3, 1 through 5 says the following. You can turn there. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. "But the serpent, was shrewder than any animal of the field that Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, had made. So he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any trees in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Of the fruit of the trees you may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat of it, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you most assuredly won't die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So here are the lusts of the flesh in verse 6a. Now the woman saw that the tree was good for food. She saw it. She lusted with that. Her flesh desired it. And then the lust of the eyes in the second part of verse 6. And that it was a thing of lust for her eyes. She saw it. She lusted after it, just like we lust after things when we see it. Thirdly, the pride of life in the third part of that verse 6. And that the tree was desirable for imparting wisdom. She took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. These are from the following verse 6. The evil one used the same strategy against Yeshua in chapter 4 of Matthew. The lust of the flesh in verse 3. And when the tempter came, he said to him, if you are Ben Elohim, tell these stones to become flesh. Or become bread, I'm sorry. The lust of the flesh. He was starving. He was hungry. Let these stones become bread. The lust of the eyes in verse 8. Again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you bow down and worship me. The lust of the eyes here. Satan is saying, it seems that God, whom you think is your father, has starved you and he has deserted you. And if you surrender to me, I will give all of this to you. The nations of the earth had long been promised to the Messiah because he is the Son of God. They belong to him. And Satan provides the greatest form of idolatry. All these things I will give you if you fall down, if you bow down and worship me. And he's going to offer you the very same deal today. Believe me, the very same deal. He'll promise you fame, fortune, and fun if you'll turn and worship him. We often look at the material goods of those around us, other people, and think it would be better if we just gave up on this life that we committed to and just live like the rest of the world lives. Look how the rest of the world lives. Look at all the good things they had. Why am I even a believer? Why don't I just give up on all of this and live like the rest of the world and just enjoy all the good things of the world? We often look and covet what other people have. Then we question if it's really worth all the struggles that we face every single day to live a godly life. Many times the people we're jealous about are headed for hell. And we forget that we have a mansion in heaven waiting for us. A beautiful mansion. When we covet what others have, we're guilty of the lust of the eyes. Thirdly, the pride of life was in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Matthew. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the highest point of the temple. If you are Ben Elohim, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you, and upon their hands they shall lift you up, so that you might not strike your foot against a stone. You know, Satan is disputing that Yeshua here really is truly the Son of God. If you really are the Son of God. Yeshua knew for a fact that he was. But now he's being tempted to prove it. Prove to me that you are really the Son of God. Just as the pride of life tempted Eve to partake of the fruit, Satan attempted to tempt Yeshua with this as well. Satan has a strategy for your life, people. For each one of you, he has a strategy. And he has a plan to entice you in order to sin. He'll do the same to you that he did to Yeshua, And the same that he did to Eve in the garden. Many times when we're tempted, we will be so prideful as to think that we can handle our own temptation. People, you cannot handle your own temptation. You cannot handle the temptation that the enemy is going to put. You cannot. You can't handle the temptation. You're going to face temptation. You will face temptation. But in the following verses, see also that you must resist temptation. Verses 3 to 10. How do you resist temptation? By following the example of Yeshua. Follow Yeshua's example. Number one, Yeshua's response to that first temptation. When Satan tried to get Yeshua to turn the stones into bread, what happened? Yeshua said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." This was a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Secondly, Yeshua's response to that second temptation. When Satan tried to get Yeshua to cast himself down from the very top of the temple, Yeshua said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, this is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Thirdly, Yeshua's response to that third temptation here. After Yeshua offered Yeshua all the kingdoms of the world, then Yeshua again said to him, "Get away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." This was a quote from Deuteronomy 6, 13. Every time Yeshua was tempted, he responded to that temptation the same way. He used the word of God. He used scripture. And the same is true for you and me. If we're going to face temptation, we need to overcome it through the word of God, through the study, the knowledge, the understanding of the word of God. And this requires three things from us. One, this requires that you are reading the Word of God constantly, consistently reading the Word of God. Secondly, this requires the understanding of the Word of God. Read it and understand what you're reading. And thirdly, this requires us using that Word against Satan. I don't know how many times when I felt temptation, I started quoting scriptures. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. World, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He who the Son says free is free indeed. I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength. I have mind of Messiah. I can take every thought captive. I can make it obedient to Messiah. Then nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Messiah, Yeshua, my Lord." We need to recite these scriptures, memorize these scriptures, know these scriptures, and use them against the enemy when he comes. The necessity of studying and understanding scripture is seen in Matthew 4, 6. "If you are Ben Elohim," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you, and upon their hands they shall lift you up, so that you may not strike your foot against a stone." You know, Satan knows the Word of God. In fact, he knows the Word of God better than you know the Word of God. He knows it well. And the only way, and Satan knows the Word, he'll twist it around and turn it to fit his agenda. He'll twist it around. The only way to know how to recognize this is to stay in that Word, to be in the Word. The Word is of utmost importance when we are facing and combating temptation. Another way to resist temptation is to guard yourself. I found this interesting little anecdote story here. Anybody remember the old Southern country TV show Hee-Haw? Hee-Haw? Always thought it was kind of a strange show myself. But on the old TV show Hee-Haw, there was someone called Doc Campbell. And Doc Campbell is confronted by a patient who says he broke his arm in two places. So the doctor replied, well, then stay out of them two places. Don't go there. You cannot continuously put yourself in places where you're going to be tempted and then not be affected. C.H. Spurgeon said, what situations are you in when you fall? Avoid them. Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with when you fail? Avoid them. You will face temptation. You must resist temptation. And finally, we see that you can overcome temptation in verse 11 of chapter 4. Victory in Yeshua does not just refer to salvation. You can have daily victory in Yeshua and you can have victory over temptation. Matthew 4:11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to take care of him. After the devil was bombarded with all these scriptures, he had to flee. What a great encouragement this is. The same is true today. When we resist the devil and recite scripture, he's going to run away and flee from us. He has to. He hates the word of God. He hates it and he's going to flee. In fact, scripture proves this in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 through 9. It says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9, it says, stay alert, watch out, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion searching for someone to devour. Stand up against him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being laid upon your brothers and sisters throughout the world. Thank you. I just read in the news that in Africa there were some poachers and they were after rhinos. So they went into this game preserve because they wanted to kill some rhinos and cut off their horns and sell the horns, because supposedly these horns are used like an aphrodisiac to turn you on or whatever you want to call it. So these are worth a lot of money and they sell these rhino horns. We're just talking about lions here, weren't we? Devil prowls around like a roaring lion. I just thought of this interesting little story. So they break in there to do mischief and to kill these rhinos. And they get mauled to death by a pride of lions. What? Yeah, so seems kind of like justice, doesn't it, in a way? Kind of bit like justice. Now, of course, we shouldn't gloat over any loss of life. But the devil glorifies in the loss of life. And he is like that roaring lion. And he wants, just like those poachers, they only found parts of them. They were eaten. The lions ate them all up. They found tennis shoes and some clothing here and there. But that's what the devil is, like a roaring lion. He's looking to devour someone. So watch out for him. Also, we read in James chapter 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And Satan has a strategy concerning your life. He wants to trap you. He wants to destroy your life. Understand this as well. We can't blame all the temptation on the devil. Remember Flip Wilson? Anybody remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. Anybody remember? The devil made me do it. We can't blame the devil for everything, can we? Many times we're tempted by the things that our natural flesh desires. Someone said, if there were no devil, I would be all the devil I need. Isn't that true? If there was no devil, I would be all the devil I need. Because we sure get ourselves in situations and place ourselves in situations to be tempted. If you're saved, you're going to face temptation. You must resist temptation and you can overcome temptation. In closing, I want to consider two main lies Satan would have you to believe about temptation. Number one, giving in just once won't hurt. Did you ever think, if I only do it just once, it's not going to hurt? Won't hurt me at all. I can take care of it. I'm strong just one time. Just like, I'll do that just one joint, you know, just that one joint, just this one time. Not going to hurt. Well, I'll just do another one. It's okay. But, you know, no more. I'll be fine. I won't need to do. And then number three and number four and number five, you're smoking joints every single day. You can't live without it. Well, I'll just have that one little piece of cake. I know I shouldn't, but it's okay. It's not going to harm me. Well, you know, it was just a small little piece. So I'll just have another small little piece. Oh my gosh, I ate the whole cake. Those temptations. Giving in just one won't hurt. Once won't hurt. Let me tell you, it will. It will. Some things, get into an affair all one time. My wife or my husband, they're never going to know. It's just this one time. She'll never find out. He'll never find out. And then there's a second time. Well, I'll never do it again. I won't do it again. Number three, four, you just messed up your life. Your marriage is probably over. Satan has your life in his control. Giving in just once will hurt. It will hurt. Secondly, after you have sinned, he would have you believe that you have ruined your life. He would have you to believe that you are beyond forgiveness and might as well keep on sinning and enjoying it. That's another lie. And he wants you to think, well, you went ahead, that temptation, you did it, but you know what? I've ruined my life now. I can never come back to God. God will never love me again. God will never forgive me again for the things I've done. I'm just ruined. My life is over. I've destroyed my life. I've destroyed my family. It's all over. Might as well just stay in this rut, this way of life. Just be a sinner. Because it's never going to happen. I'm never going to come back to the Lord. That's a lie the devil wants you to believe to keep you bound for the rest of your life. There was a woman who was lying on one of those inflatable little floats, rafts, in the Gulf of Mexico. Right on the shore there, right outside the water a little bit. She was enjoying the comfort of relaxing on that inflated cushion that kept her afloat. When she realized that she had been swept about a half mile out from the beach, she began to scream. But no one could hear her. And a Coast Guard craft found her 5 miles in the Gulf of Mexico on that little float where she first entered the water.